Appears to be 4 o'clock, so we'll get the meeting underway. I think that was the rumblings involved. Roll call vote for attendance.
McGill.
Here.
Scarlett.
Here.
Youngberg.
Here.
Brecky.
Here.
Neubauer.
Here.
Okay, board in front of you is the agenda for this afternoon's meeting. Do I hear any changes, additions, or subtractions to the agenda? If not, the agenda will stand as submitted. Minutes from the previous meeting are in front of you. Do I hear any changes, additions, subtractions to the minutes? If not, I'll accept a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right, we don't have a big audience tonight. Just FYI, the way we conduct these, if there are any, if you want to make any comments at all. Oops, excuse me.
Findings and facts, yeah. We have underneath minutes.
Oh, excuse me. In front of you also, you have the findings and facts for the previous meeting for CUP 0119. The PDF. Problems, additions, subtractions to the findings of fact?
Right. That was for the proposed communication tower east of
right.
Syria.
Right.
So moved to approve it.
We'll hear a second.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor of accepting the findings of fact, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. Finding effects are accepted. I got a little exuberant there. Moving on, and now back to the public comments. If anyone wants to make comments about any of our previous requests that had been in front of the board, with the exception of those that we're listening to tonight, feel free to make your comments. Do I hear any? After that, then if not, we'll go into our hearing. On our request this evening, and after we've gone through the staff report and any questions the board may have, we'll close deliberations and give you an answer as we when we're finished. So on that note, staff?
Yeah, this is a conditional use permit for the Story County Conservation Board, specifically for Hickory Grove Park, and to replace the existing beach house at the park. If you're familiar, there's one sand beach, and it has a beach house from 1969, and that needs to be replaced. So that's the request before you this evening. Hickory Grove Park, it's near Colo. I'll have a map, but it's on 250th Street. Oh, here's the map. So it's just southwest of Colo, and then it's on 250th, the main access, which is paved, and then 680th from Highway 30, which is also paved. So here's the lake, which is the main feature of the park. It's 92 acres, I believe.
The lake itself.
Okay. And then... Again, so it's a beach house that's being located on the existing beach site, which is in the central portion of the park. Parks are actually just principal permitted uses in the A1 Agricultural District. So typically you wouldn't have a request for a conditional use permit just for a park before you, but when we have a structure or a facility being built by a county department is when a conditional use permit is required. So that's why in this case you have the beach house. I think previously you heard a conditional use permit in 2016 for a shower building as part of the campgrounds. There's campgrounds for RVs in the north portion of the park. And so that's why the request is before you this evening. Besides the recent conditional use permit for the new shower building, they are also currently undertaking a lake restoration project that's ongoing. It should be completed by 2020. So here's a close-up view of the lake and the park and the surrounding properties. You can see here's Country Living, manufactured housing community adjacent to the north. There are some parcels zoned R1 to the north, but there's only one dwelling located on this smaller parcel. To the southeast of the park, there is a subdivision. It's the Lion subdivision, which has 8 parcels and 5 dwellings. But otherwise, it's mainly zoned A1 agricultural, and there's one dwelling adjacent to the east and one dwelling adjacent to the west over here. So it's mainly an agricultural area. And this is the floodplain and natural resources area maps from the C2C plan. So you can see the lake is considered floodplain. And then the entire park is considered a natural area. More specifics on the beach house. The existing beach house is 30 feet by 32 feet and contains 6 shower stalls and toilets and a concession area. So this will be removed. The new beach house will be located on the same site, approximately 150 feet to the northwest. The new beach house is proposed to be a prefabricated building that will have the same look as the new shower building, so you have a cohesive aesthetic throughout the park. It will be approximately 30 feet by 21.5 feet and 10.5 feet tall, so a little bit smaller than the existing beach house. So it will only have 4 stalls for toilets. It will have an outdoor rinse shower enclosure separated from the building but connected by a sidewalk. That's 10 feet by 10 feet, and that will have 2 shower stalls in it. There will be exterior lighting that will be on a timer and shut off when the park closes, and the goal is to place this in early July. There is an existing parking lot that will be used. That's approximately accommodates 65 cars. There are existing trails from this parking lot to the beach house site. Actually, the new beach house location is a little more central to these trails, so it will be more accessible from the parking lot. The new beach house site is also, as it's more central, has a better view of the beach itself for safety. Conservation staff estimates that there will be 92 beach users per day on weekends and 25 people a day on weekdays. And then it will also hook into existing utilities. One of those is the existing wastewater lagoon, which was permitted in 1967 as part of the lake restoration project. Conservation is going to be updating that and installing a new system. They haven't figured out quite what type of system yet, but environmental health indicates that this should be required as a condition of the permit, that they install the new system as part of the lake restoration project. It'll hook into the existing system for now, but we have a condition related to installing the new system with the completion of the restoration project. So this is a close-up of the beach. And then this is the existing beach house, and this is the proposed beach house location, so you can see it's more centralized. This is the parking lot, and then these are the existing trails that connect to the beach house. As part of the lake restoration project, in this area, there will be a new parking lot, and that parking lot will be at lake level, so that there will be ADA access through a trail to the beach as well. So the beach house is accessible. You know, there's ADA compliant parking spots in this parking lot up here that you can then access the beach house if you're in a wheelchair. But if you need to access the beach, now there will be beach access provided from down here, whereas before it's a very steep slope. So that is part of the lake restoration project as well.
Can you go back?
Mike? Yeah.
Where's the lake water or the wastewater lagoon?
Is it in this photo?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It would be...
Here. I'll go back to that.
Okay.
So it's in the northwest corner.
Okay.
You have the park.
Okay.
Is it this little square?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And so maybe conservation staff could talk more about what the options are, but they're looking at, you know, maybe a lagoon, but maybe a systems called Advantex, which are mechanical systems as well. This is the landscaping plan that's part of the beach house. So you can see they'll be doing some native prairie plantings and replacing any trees impacted by construction. And this will be equivalent to 20% of the impervious surfaces added by the project. These plantings will also be downgrade of the building to provide stormwater control. And then during construction, this line with the hash tag marks, which I realize they have another name, but it's not. pound signs, sorry. The pound signs is an erosion control device that will be used during construction to protect the lake. So this is, again, the site. And you can see that in pink is the shower facilities, and then this is the main beach house with the concession stands and the toilets. And then the rest is a sidewalk. And this is the elevation drawing, just an example of what it may look like. So this is looking east at the new beach house site. This is looking northeast. You can see the parking lot and the trail that will connect to the site. And this is looking northwest at the beach and the lake and the beach house site. And the beach and the lake here, this is the existing beach house. And this is looking south of the parking lot. And this is looking north from the parking lot on the access road. The parking lot is approximately 1,000 feet south of the main entrance to the park. This is the main entrance. And this is the new shower building, which was approved in 2016, that will have basically the same aesthetic. They can do the same stamping on the blocks that it's made out of as a prefabricated building. So for standards of approval, the first one that you would consider is compatibility. So again, this is part of a park, which is a principal permanent use in the A1 agricultural district, and it's just a replacement of an existing beach house at that park. The beach is located in the central portion of the park, approximately 1,000 feet away from the park entrance and 250th Street, so it's pretty centralized. And the beach house, again, is located on the same site and will maintain the same function as the existing beach house. For transition, again, we're in the central portion of the park. It's not visible from adjacent properties. But the park does provide existing trees around the beach house and in the parking lot to provide additional screening. For traffic will likely continue at similar levels given that it's an established use, and existing access roads, trails, and parking will be used. Again, for parking and loading, similar points here. There is overflow parking available on the shoulder of the access road if needed from that parking lot that's existing. Again, since we're over 1,000 feet from the park entrance, there's ample space that traffic wouldn't get backed up on the road or anything like that if folks did park on the access shoulder of the park's interior road. And then for signs and lighting, there's no new signage proposed except on the restroom doors. The new lighting will be shielded to meet our land development regulations requirements, and it will be on a timer and shut off at 10:30 p.m. And for environmental protection, this is one of several recent and forthcoming improvements to Hickory Grove Park that will improve the facilities and the environmental quality of the park. Story County Conservation indicates they plan to install a new wastewater system by the completion of the lake restoration project, which may end in the summer of 2020. That's the goal. There's a recommended condition from the Planning and Zoning Commission that they have that installed by fall 2020 to give them the summer to get that completed, if not sooner. During construction, they will be using a silt fence, and then after construction, they do have landscaping to provide stormwater treatment and catch runoff from the new building and new sidewalks. If the board concludes that all development criteria will be met, it shall approve the application unless you conclude that if completed as proposed, there's a strong probability the development will not adequately safeguard health, safety, and general welfare, impair adequate supply of light and air, unduly increase congestion in the roads, diminish or impair established property values, or not be in accord with our ordinance or our C2C plan. So I'm just going to go through ones that might have some more different findings than the ones we've already gone through. So one of those would be increased congestion on the roads, and hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers. So the beach house will not be constructed in the floodplain. And Story County Emergency Management reviewed this as part of our interagency review. They recommended having a severe weather shelter in the building. The applicant indicates that the proposed beach house is made of precast reinforced concrete that could be from 4 to 8 inches in thickness. So it's not a storm shelter, but it is an improvement over the existing building. The shower building that was approved in 2016 is the tornado safe site for the park. It's approximately 1,000 feet to the northwest of the site, accessible by, there's trails that connect as well as the road, and the applicant provided the tornado warning procedure for the park, including plans to notify the park users that could then, you know, use that shelter that's existing. And then on being in accord with our future land use plan, our C2C future land use plan, again, this is natural area. And so one of the principles is to discourage development generally, except in unique circumstances when appropriate development types may enhance the area. And we feel that it's a park, so that's one of these unique circumstances where we're enhancing a natural resource and allowing them to make improvements to their facilities and even, you know, the environmental quality of the park through their lake restoration project as well. And this one, again, they will be installing a new wastewater treatment system, which is recommended as a condition. Interagency review comments, we went through environmental health comments about installing the new system and emergency management about the storm shelter. We mailed notice and did not receive comments from property owners within a quarter mile. We also routed this to the city of Colo and didn't receive comments. So just a few final notes for you to consider, points to consider. This is considered a natural area, but it is a county park, and the proposed development will be enhancing the county park. County parks are principal permanent use in the A1 agricultural zoning district. This is replacing an existing beach house, which has been in the park since 1969. There are plans to install a new wastewater treatment system, and the Planning and Zoning Commission recommend it. They do that by the fall of 2020. The new beach house will be on the same site as the previous beach house, just 150 feet northwest, so more centralized on the site. And it's located in the central portion of the park, about 1,000 feet south of the park entrance. The Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval. They had questions about the ADA access, like we went over, to the beach, which is part of the lake restoration project. They also had questions about the timeline for the new wastewater treatment system installation. And again, they did recommend a timeline of fall 2020 as a condition to install that new system. And so they recommended alternative 2 with that recommended condition to install the new wastewater treatment system by the fall of 2020.
Thank you. Board, any questions for Amelia?
So the county does not have a specific parkland zoning, is that?
But it's permitted in the A1 agricultural district and other districts as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if the overflow parking goes to the access road, is there still room for coming in, incoming and outgoing traffic?
We actually don't. Is that okay?
Oh, you don't? Yeah.
Oh, we actually don't recommend parking on the side of the road. If you go, so if you go back one more when you're facing.
To the north of the parking lot?
Yep.
Oh. This one?
Yeah. So, because when it does get congested on, say, a holiday weekend, people will try and park there, and then it gets to be a zoo. We try and, on the other side, north side of the paved road there, the yield sign, if you take a right, there's a big green mowed area, and that's where our overflow parking is. That's where we try and, but it's when it gets very busy, it's kind of, it's a full-time job trying to sit there and tell people which way to go, so.
Yeah, just north of the road, sorry.
Yep.
Okay. Any other comments on it while we're asking on the whole project?
There's a, like Amelia said, Hickory Grove is going to be seeing a lot of improvements over the next few years. So with the lake restoration and the beach is close, the park is closed, it's a perfect time to try and get this done at the same time.
Sounds
good. What drove the desire to move the building rather than replace the existing one?
I think if we're asking questions, we ought to at least have you fellas go up and give your name at the podium and address.
You bet.
We generally have a lot more people than here.
So we like it like this.
Brian Newell, partisan. Just right there. Behind the podium.
Yeah, give your name and address.
All right, Ryan Weemold, Park Superintendent with Story County Conservation. Address is 5626 980 Street, Ames, Iowa, 5010.
Luke Kilmeyer, Park Ranger, Hickory Grove. So that is my address, 67464 250 Street, Kola, Iowa, 50056.
Thank you.
So your question is why were we moving it? And like Amelia had said, the existing site, when we have, you know, we have canoe rentals, paddle boat rentals, and what a lot of people do, they'll come and they'll come around this morning. Well, when you're sitting up top here trying to make sure everything's safe, accountability, make sure canoes aren't flipping over, that sort of thing, you know, we started thinking from, you know, a bear, you know, if we're going to do this, it's going to be, doesn't make more sense to move into a more centralized spot. The other side of that too, when you're tucked back here, when you're sitting up there, it's hard to see the whole beach itself. It's hard to see the whole swimming area. So then, you know, in our waterfront aides, they're not lifeguards, but they are still trained in CPR and that sort of thing. And they still, you know, it's still best to have view of your whole swimming area in case there was a, you know, a drowning or someone in need of their assistance. So, yep.
So overall, a better view of the site, and then also a secondary reason would be the majority of the parking obviously is right there through the lot. They walk right through that grassy area before they head down the hill. The majority of users walk down that hill to access the beach. So now they can actually go right by the building, get what they need. So it's actually a little closer for the majority of the users that are going through that site.
Good. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any more comments on this end? If not, then we'll close deliberations. Do I hear a motion?
I move that the Story County Board of Adjustment approves the conditional use permit for the Story County Conservation Board Hickory Grove Park Beach House replacement is put forth in case CUP 02-19 is submitted with the condition that follows, which is to install a new wastewater treatment system by fall of 2020.
We have a motion out of Scarlett. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second out of Neubauer. Roll call vote, please.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Neubauer.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Brecky.
Aye.
There you go, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Thanks, guys.
Let's see. Any board or staff comments?
Yeah, we'll have a, at the Board of Adjustments May 15th meeting, we will have a conditional use permit application submittal for the McKay property for the Raspberry Hill.
I'm going to be out of the country.
Bed and breakfast and
we're planning our plane.
Yeah,
one more of Justin is familiar with. Southwest Ames. And then I thought I'd just go briefly through. Every quarter we give an update to the Board of Supervisors just to give you an idea as to the activity level of our department for the first quarter. I'm going to blame some of this on the weather since it was so brutal. But for the first 3 months, we had about 9 development case applications. three subdivisions, one rezoning, two variance requests, one vacation, property vacation, one site development plan, and one conditional use. That compares to 2018's 19. So quite a bit more in the first quarter of 2018. And then the first quarter of 2017, we had about 17 cases. You saw the FTC Tower Company FirstNet system that was east of Zering. That was a conditional use permit. We had three subdivisions. Two of those are residential parcel subdivisions, Lee Farms, Gilbert residential subdivision, Wint agricultural subdivision, Maranowski rezoning and variance. That was before you. He was south of Story City, Rose Grapes. Right now he works with a third party vendor. He wants to get more involved in the production end of it. So we looked at the rezoning and variance setback on the existing building. Mr. Wigger's variance request, he has the residence east of Kelly. He converted dwelling to a total of three units. 199th Street vacation, that's a vacation Northwest Ames. The property owners, Corey's, were interested in acquiring some land to the adjacent property owners to do some landscaping work. And as we looked at it, we realized the right-of-way could be adjusted. And so that was how we were able to make this work for them. Key Co-op north of Nevada here added some grain bin storage, which was a site plan review. And then there's been a number of what we refer to as insignificant modification requests. Those are reviewed internally, administratively, where we've had upgrades to existing towers, you know, changeouts on antennas and radio systems. And we held an open house for the home business permit process. We had, I'd say, a low turnout, but we had a lively turnout. We ended up providing some, I think, really good information to the folks that were here. With the amendment, there's a process now for businesses that are experiencing some limited growth and those that maybe have larger plans in place to address that. It's pretty common with home businesses, either you're, the way they're written, either you're going to meet the requirements or you're not, and if you're not, then you're not in compliance. So we made some adjustments to the ordinance, and we're hoping that it provides some benefit.
Can I jump in?
Sure.
So the new ordinance, if you, it's kind of set up like you would have a modification to your conditional use permit, right? So instead of a conditional use permit, though, it's your home business permit. So you guys might have a case where somebody has grown more than our standards allow, so you as a board can grant an easing of those standards, but it's limited to up to 5 years, right?
Three years. Initially, and then they can ask for an extension.
And then they'd have to move and find a more appropriate site, but you might see some of those in the coming year. It's a new thing.
Yeah, it's the conditional use permit submittal, but then they have to have this transition plan. So the goal really is to move from a home-based business to more of a business that would be permitted in a commercial or industrial or another location inside a city that's zoned.
But it's kind of allowing like an incubator almost, starting out at your home. They grow, you guys can grant a permit for that, and then move on anyway.
Do you know how it compares with like the city of Ames? I mean, do they have any, or is it just straight up?
They have a home business ordinance.
Yeah, they have a home business ordinance. I don't know if there's like a transition built into that, though.
Right. But I feel like the city of Ames is, you don't have it at your home. Like, there's not, I don't think there's a transition, but I'm just curious.
You can have some in your home. Are you saying no businesses are in a home?
Well, you know,
I think they can allow home businesses. I just don't know if they can, like, grow beyond the standards and have,
right.
like, a...
I mean, I know there's some hair places in people's basements and things like that are accepted.
Okay. They're ordinance, not that we're experts on the ordinance, but they list, like, what's permitted and what's not permitted. Yeah. Ours is more, we provide general guidelines. If you can meet these general guidelines, which limits the business operators to people that reside in a dwelling, plus one person who doesn't reside in the dwelling, no outside storage, limited traffic, So in other words, it should blend in
yeah.
With the neighborhood, with the surroundings is the idea.
And I believe like in Ames, they have to have consent of their neighbors or, you know, like you say, up to a certain type of home business, there's got to be a lot of criteria followed on that.
And then so things that we're working on now was the
beach
that you just approved, the beach house. We've got two residential parcel subdivisions. Those are situations that are usually in an A1 agricultural district. There's an existing dwelling. The property owner would like to divide the parcel to create another lot for a new dwelling. So those are residential parcel subdivisions.
That was a long distance between the beach house and the lagoon. I mean, that's got to be quite, I would think, kind of a pricey project to for them
yeah.
to do.
I think that's why they're looking at those mechanical systems, too,
okay.
the Avantech systems.
Good.
And then just the last thing is we've got the Board of Supervisors have passed this special events ordinance. We used to handle special events through conditional use permits. And a lot of times, from our end, we're not hearing about events until, you know, a few days before the event, and then so you have to really decide, okay, is this thing going to happen, or do we catch it the next time kind of thing.
Can you give an example, Jerry?
A special event
yeah.
could be a music activity, an athletic activity, like a bike race, running race, could be a music event, political event where there's a gathering of more than 250 event staff, participants, volunteers, and where it's going to last for more than a four-hour period. So the combination of those two things. But the Board of Supervisors adopted this in 2017, and we had a lot of calls on it since then. But we actually had two applications that we reviewed that went to the board yesterday. One is it's called the Crush Rock Classic. It's a bike race, May 18. It's going to start at Sunny Heights Bed and Breakfast, northeast of Ames.
On Templeton.
And it's, a 6-mile course. Part of the ordinance requirement is that our department shepherds the communication of this with all of the police, fire, ambulance, the cities. And so
wow.
we coordinate all that, review of that information, had meetings to discuss it, and so that one was approved, and then there's another one. It's a triathlon, Ames Triathlon. And I think they stationed at Hickory Grove, but because of the work that they're doing there, they can't swim there. Triathlon is swimming, mm-hmm. running, and biking. So they worked out, or they're working out arrangements with the city of Ames to headquarter at Ada Hayden, do a swim in Ada Hayden, which took special permission mm-hmm. to
yeah.
do. And they're going to bike. I think it's a 15-mile course. Most of the bike course is in the unincorporated area of the county. And this one, there were already several meetings that had taken place with Ames Police, Fire Department, Parks and Rec, Sheriff's Department, Engineering, Secondary Roads. But then we had a special interest in the bike portion of the race and got involved and had meetings here and at the sheriff's office and kind of worked through the details of that. But this one is June 30th, and the board approved that with conditions. They actually both got approved with conditions.
And that's only if it's in the county at all?
There should be some involvement with, like a private property or county roads, road right-of-way. We heard about an annual, it's a bike ride, it's not a race, that starts in Nevada and goes out in the unincorporated, but
yeah, the neighbors.
Neighbors.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I actually talked to that, the coordinator for that, and he indicated that the numbers would probably be a lot less than what this would be. But we still forwarded that information on to the sheriff's office so that they were their event and the day that it was going to happen so that they can communicate that with their staff and all the deputies. But these are things that we have coordinated.
I got a call from emergency management about Lincoln Highway Days. They just wanted to confirm dates and who to call in case of bad weather so that we could be proactive. So.
Well, on these races, it can get pretty hairy, as we all know. And the triathlon, they actually have, there's a church complex at George Washington Carver and Cambridge School Road. They've offered to open their doors in case there's bad weather, or the Gilbert Fire Station. Oh. They've offered to provide safe haven if needed. So,
going back to your first comment, what is Raspberry Hill asking for next month?
It is. I haven't looked at a lot of the details yet, but it's the same bed and breakfast. I think with their first plan, they were proposing to do an addition that included like three or four additional rooms. And I think with this submittal, it's just one room that's ADA accessible.
Just one, or in addition?
One additional that they want to add to the existing.
That they want to add to the one that we've already approved.
Yeah, and then of course a building for events. Mm.
That'll be at her deposition.
That will be on the May
15th. Okay.
Since you bring it up, do we have any details on the deposition yet?
We communicated to the attorneys that are working on this that there was availability for Thursday morning. And we're trying to find out if this is like one room, multiple rooms, but we're going to coordinate that. We'll let you know.
Okay.
We're still waiting to hear back from the attorney.
Anything else?
I just had a question on that. So the volunteer stuff that you're talking about, it needs to be 250 people or more?
Oh, special events.
Yeah.
It's a special events permit. It's for something that's over a four-hour period. It's an activity that can involve music, sporting, where you have a gathering of people on private property or where they're affecting or using the road right-of-ways, and more than 250 people that are event staff, spectators, volunteers.
So we've had events in our place probably exceed that, but I don't know. I mean, we park them in our, you know, off the road, so I'm not sure how that.
Talk to me after this.
Maybe I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, and some places have like special events as part of their conditional use permits already. And so they'd already have like weather plans and that kind of thing part of and approved through their conditional use permits. So.
And they'd be exempt from that because they already have that built into the conditional use permit.
Well, the other thing is, isn't your church within the Ames city limits, isn't it?
No. Not the church, but I mean, I'm talking our personal property.
Oh, your personal
property. Oh.
Okay. And if it's for family, then that's your business.
Yeah.
But if you're doing something for the general public.
Like selling tickets and that
okay.
kind of
thing. Legal figures.
But yeah, if you have more questions about it, you can definitely address it.
Okay. Anything else? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.